All right, and we are joined now in our interview section of the podcast with Dave and Annie Hypanen. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
Finally on a day that works.
yeah, it works out. It is tricky sometimes to get everybody's schedules lined up. I mean, there's at least three people that we have to line up for these podcasts, and in this case, four. And we're going to talk a little bit about schedules and scheduling here later on in the podcast during this interview, and how it is for runners and families to make that all work. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about some of your guys' individual backgrounds. Annie, let's start with you, with your earlier days of running, when you got started, where you went to school, that kind of thing.
So I graduated from Rollsville High School down in the Twin Cities, and I ran track all through all 4 years, freshman through senior year. I started sprinting, attempted hurdling, but being short didn't work. Then eventually landed in distance, and just that whole group of girls was awesome. Some of them, one of them was in our wedding, and just lifelong friends. A lot of them were in cross country. So my junior year, I went out for cross country in the fall. It was a social thing. I just wasn't a very good runner. Had fun with it, but that summer between junior and senior year, we had captain's practices, and I just ran every day, and that next fall, I was, like, markedly faster than the year before, just by doing, essentially now, base running, base training.
Just high volume.
Consistency. And so that kind of sparked my, love, I guess, for running.
Was it the improvement that really got you, like seeing that improvement, was there something else about it that kind of got you hooked?
I think there was that, and just, with running, like, you get that runner's high, and it was like something like, I can do this, and it was, I didn't have to depend on anyone else, like, it was all on me, and so I think it was a lot of just that, individual part of running. And obviously when you're on a team, you have team scores and that kind of thing. And just really the social part of it was probably the biggest, driver for me, because it was kind of like an excuse for me to hang out with my friends for 2 hours after school every day. I actually ended up having a stress fracture my senior year, and I had, one of my friends had a stress fracture before, and so she knew what it was, and eventually I was like, it has to be this. And so I didn't want my coach to not let me run, so I didn't tell her. I would load up on ibuprofen before races.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so then after our regional meet, I crossed the line and I told her, I was like, I have a stress fracture, and she was so mad.
Was that cross?
That was cross. Okay. Yeah. So after that, I was like, okay, I was like, in my head, I was like, after this, I'm graduating, I'm not running again. And so then that next spring, when I was running, training again for track, I ended up getting another stress fracture.
Same leg,
but different area. I think just puberty. I did not have a great diet, so I think that was a really big part of it, too. So I actually wasn't really able to run track my senior year, at all, because I was on crutches and that kind of thing. But in the winter time, I applied for colleges, all that. I knew I wanted to go for nursing, so I applied for nursing schools. And I had applied to Scholastica. My one of my best friends, her mom was a freelance writer at the time, and so the only reason really came up here was because she was writing a pamphlet about Scholastica. So she kind of used us. We were only in 10th grade at the time to come up to Duluth, and I was like, this place is awesome. We'd been to Duluth once, I think, growing up, and I was like, this is fun, whatever, and I liked it because it wasn't too far away. It was pretty. And with Scholastica, I knew I could get into the nursing program, and it was a good program. So I applied and was accepted. And then Steve Finkston, who was the longtime cross-country coach at Scholastica, cold called me in like February. And he's like, hey, do you want to run cross-country for me next year? And I was just like so caught off guard. And I still tell, because you know, now if you fast forward, I coach, assistant coach at Scholastica. I tell them, I'm like, that was the best phone call I've ever gotten, because I think it completely changed the direction of my life, really.
Yeah.
So
you weren't expecting to run.
No.
Okay.
I was just going to go to Scholastica and go to nursing school.
Go to nursing school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so him calling, and I never even thought about running in college, because I was like, I'm not good enough.
Sure.
Like, I never thought about D3 or anything like that. And so he's like, yeah, I'd love to have you out for the team, you know, and like, you'd be great. And I think I came and stayed. I did an overnight. I was already planning to come to Scholastica, but I did an overnight with some of the girls that were on the team. And so that was just, you know, that kind of just solidified it, because they were just such good friends and it was just a perfect environment, and I was like, I'm gonna fit so well in here. So
what was it that you think that caught your coach's eye, Kingston's eye? What was it about you? Was it your times necessarily, or
I'm sure they caught
it, must have been enough. I mean, he's not gonna just take anybody,
but, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I feel like I was, you know, I can't totally remember, but I feel like I'd obviously had improvement from my junior year to my senior year. Yeah. You know, I was consistent. And
did he know the coach, your high school coach? Did they have a relationship?
No, I don't think they knew each other. But yeah,
well,
so
him.
He must have, you know, gotten regional. I mean, because our conference in our region down in Twin Cities, it's like you get pretty, a lot of runners, like
yeah,
a few girls that I ran with, like definitely ran D1,
right?
You know, so it's like there's good names out there, and
right.
So I think that's just, you know, part of his recruiting was,
yeah,
you think he knew you
finding names
or got accepted.
That might have been, I think he had it through like probably admissions or something like
yeah.
that
I mean,
was
there's gotta be hundreds of total non-runners that apply too, like, huh.
Yeah.
How did they just pick you
so,
out?
So, I don't know. And I don't know, like, if I, like, checked a box of, like, oh, I'm interested in running or
run
cross country. You know, I could very well could have done that. I mean,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that was, like, when you still paper up, applied for schools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so that was, like, the best thing ever. And then that, so I had a stress fracture that spring for my track senior year. Couldn't run track. And then... And then I got mono.
Oh, no.
So my training that whole summer was, I think I ran 50 miles the entire summer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Coming into trying to run collegiate cross country. And so it didn't go very well. So my freshman year was not good. But then once I kind of got that figured out, then I was able to train more. And then kind of the same thing as what I saw in high school, I was able to run consistently. You know, I'd run track for Scholastica as well, and just the consistency and getting that base and getting those runs in, I had significant improvement and was, I think, one of the top three runners for Scholastica. And I think just, it was either this season or it might have been the season before, but I used to have a top 20 time and it got booted off, but it was up there for, you know, probably a good 8-9 years, something
nice.
Like that. So
and this is a cross time?
Yeah, for
Scholastica. What did you run it for, the track? What events? You know, you
weren't
doing sprints anymore. I
no,
yeah,
no.
I distance.
And I didn't, I've never loved track.
Uh-huh.
I was just kind of did it as like something to keep in shape for cross country.
Cross rolls around.
Yeah, and you know, that's where, like, you know, running itself, it's like, yeah, like I love running outside and just exploring new places and just elevation and just like all that stuff. Whereas track, you don't get that.
Right.
But I don't know, I kind of dabbled in a lot of stuff. I didn't have one event that I was like very good at.
Sure.
Chad Salmelo was my track coach, and he coached a year when I was in cross country as well. But he always made me run the 800, and I hate the 800. So, yeah, not my thing.
More passion for cross.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, he must have been somewhat good at it, because he kept making me run it. But, yeah, so it was, I mean, you know, track was just kind of at that point, our women's team was, women's distance was pretty small. So I ran with a lot of the guys a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would kind of get faster from that just because I was running with guys. So you're running faster, you know, which, you know, now knowing more about training, that running faster does not make you faster. But, you know, my 19-year-old brain thought that that was a good idea. Right, so,
right. But going backwards a little bit, did you have, was running and athletics big in your family? I know your sister now runs and she's pretty good.
Absolutely not.
Maybe it's not. Okay.
Yeah, how'd you get into the, even in high school, how'd you get into
I don't even know.
Are you doing other sports or is
no.
it just...
Like we, my brother and sister and I all played soccer growing up, and I think with that being a team sport and knowing that there was tryouts with it, I was like, I didn't even want to try. Like I was like, I'm not gonna get on a team. I'm not trying. I'm not that good.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know. I think I had cousins that ran track, and so I don't really recall if that sparked my interest in it. But yeah, my parents are absolutely not. My mom likes to do stuff. Like, she's an active person, but she's never really, like, been an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Like, we do sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my dad does his 30 minutes of Nordic track a few days a week. And that's, I mean, he's also, like, he has a very active job, so he's, like, he moves a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
And his brain can't stop. But yeah, he's never been an athlete either, so. But yeah, and then my sister got into running, because, like, kind of made her. She's 5 years younger than me, so I was
forced.
Susan, do cross country. I remember the day before, first day before practice, because she started in seventh grade. She just bawled. She cried so hard. She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But and now she's like awesome runner. Right. So she's faster than me.
Wow. Huh. And but, Dave, how about you? How about what's your background? I don't think you ran in high school, correct?
I did not run in high school at all. I cross country skied in high school.
Nice.
I played soccer, and then I played hockey for like 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible at all of them. so then I kind of took it. Then I kind of quit all sports altogether. And then I think it was like 2007. I started running. My uncle bet me that I couldn't run a half marathon. I think that's how it went, which is Deb Salzer's dad. I think that's how it went. But anyways, I registered for Grandma's half marathon and I trained not very well. I think my longest run was like 3 miles or something like that. And I ran the half marathon. You know,
slow in the bet.
Yeah, I did. I did finish the race and I guess if won the bet, you know. So so 2007. And then, spinning back to what Annie said, I used to run everything really, really fast. I thought faster was better. I'd run every single one of my miles fast. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't run fast, I didn't think I was getting faster. So that I got hurt a lot. I got injured. I think I've had every single injury in the book, from stress fracture to Achilles to Morton's neuroma to
broken femur.
Yeah, broken femur, you name it. I mean, I was constantly, I even overtrained 1 year, which was actually worse than being injured. And then I kind of stepped back training a little bit. I started hiring some coaches to kind of, help me out with some structure and telling me not to, kind of keep me in line from overtraining like that. So, I ran with Nick Maddock for a while. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Yeah.
But he was a really good UMD guy. But he trained me for a couple years. Eric Hartmark trained me for a little bit. Greg Robertson trained me for a little bit. I've been running ever since. And I run some ultra marathons.
Nice, yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
So I switched from like road racing to ultra racing. And then I've got beat up pretty good in the ultra world, so then I came back to the road. And now I'm currently on the road, still running. Not running as much as I used to, but I'm still staying pretty active. So
nice. Yeah.
I'd like to know, training for that first half marathon with the bet, what was going through your mind? Was it like, this is fun, maybe this will be a future hobby, or it's just like, get through it, do what I have to do to finish, and
What was the even bet for? Money? Beer?
man, I think that bet was just for just bragging rights. Just to finish the race. I think I have some competitiveness in me, so when somebody bets me something, I'm gonna go and do it. I know I was pretty scared of the race, and I remember standing at the starting line like it was yesterday, and then running down old Highway 61 into that finish line. But I was definitely I definitely recall not being even remotely in shape. I bet I had less than, I don't know, I'm kind of making this up, but it's around 75 to 100 miles under my belt. Yeah. Total.
Did you know at the time that you weren't really in that shape? I mean, you say that now with hindsight, knowing what you know now.
I should have done
at the
more.
Time, did you think, I'm probably halfway there or something?
I didn't know. To answer your question, I didn't know I was not in shape.
Yeah, you thought you were.
I thought I was in shape.
I was young and I'm fit and I can do all this. Yeah.
I was young, fit, and went on some, some runs, and I got, I was pretty sore all the time. But I bought my first pair of shoes. I remember that before the race, right before the race at Austin Jaro. I remember Mike Benchina. Uh-huh. Was the one that actually fitted me for my shoes, and I remember seeing some of his times and seeing him race, and I was pretty in awe by him. So he was a good athlete.
Yeah, he was kind of the local fast guy there for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Gino was, yeah, for sure.
And I have to say, I still, between Dave's first half marathon and my first half marathon, which both was Grandma's, was the one time I've ever beat him.
Nice.
So my time was faster than his.
You guys
him.
Ran the same year?
It wasn't the same year.
But
it was
your
like
first half.
6 or 7 years apart.
Okay.
But
yep.
Still.
Yep.
Same course still.
Nice.
Fair and square.
Yep.
Fair and square. For some reason, I don't remember that.
And did you say 6 or 7 minutes faster?
I think so. It was something like that, because I think I ran like a 1:40 for my very first one, and I think you were like just squeaking under 2.
I think I ran like 1:50.
I think it was 1:50 something.
1:51 or 1:52, if I remember. Somewhere.
So probably good, like 11-12 minutes.
Oh man, she smoked you then.
She made me good.
And I was 75 or 100 miles total, and you've had.
Yeah,
probably.
And I was
a few more miles.
I was just graduating from college
from
and Splashica.
You
had the cross back.
Yeah, I had cross under my belt.
That's actually kind of an interesting transition. How did you transition from, I guess team-based running, high school, then collegiate? I mean, did you plan on running after college, or where was your head at?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd never really thought about not running. It was just kind of continuing, but how do I continue? Because when you're on a team, like someone always telling you what to do, and even being coached, like someone's telling you what to do, and
the races,
always somebody to run with,
totally.
Always a partner, always. So,
and the house I lived in my senior year, I think three or four of us, we were all cross country girls. That's how we got to live together. But my friend Caitlin, she was like, she's a national, she went to NCAAs like twice, I think, while we were running and stuff, so she's like really good. But we would do, when we lived together, we would do Tempo Tuesdays, because she was running the full for Grandma's, and then at that point, I had signed up for the half with three of my high school girlfriends. And so we would do Tempo Tuesdays, and we lived up on just off of Fern Avenue, like behind Scholastica, and so we'd run out towards Anger, and we would pick like, oh, we'll do 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We'd do a little warm-up, and then she would be, like, way ahead of me. But we would just do out and backs, and it was so much fun. And it was something, like, same thing, consistent to look forward to, change up from just going on a run, So that kind of helped me get in shape for the half marathon. And then from that point, I don't know, I just, like, kept running and graduated. And then two of my really good friends, Nick and Mal Mangan, they're married now, but they coached that next fall at Scholastica, or Nick did, I guess. Mel was still a runner. And so I kind of just, like, would go to races and stuff, and I remember that first year not being on the team. The first meet I went to, I cried because I missed it so much. Like, I was like, I just want to be here. I want to go on. It was really hard, like, not having that as part of my life, because I had it for, 6 years.
You're right.
So then from there, I just kind of kept running and just, you know, I think too, like back to the social thing, it was like I had this nice group of people that,
right,
you know, were now, they're now my life friends, and just kind of keeping up with them, and that's what we would do. We would go on long runs on Sundays, and we just, you know, kind of evolved from that.
I'm always fascinated by the people who did run in college and whether or not they continue to run afterwards, or if they've so many of them, either they burn out or they just aren't interested anymore because it's not a team thing anymore, and some continue on like yourself, and it fascinates me because I was not in that. I was more like Dave. Yeah. I didn't run in high school or college, and so.
Yeah, and that's, I have a few, you know, just through the years of running that they just stopped kind of running really at all afterwards, whether it was injury or just lost interest or what. So, yeah, I was kind of like, but you're so good at it. Like, why would you stop?
Right,
but,
right.
You know, you have to love it. You have to love it if you're going to do it as a hobby.
Absolutely.
So.
And so then both of you guys kind of got into your own individual running. You were doing your thing, you kind of had your run scheduled jobs, but then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but eventually you guys got married, and both of you as runners now having to kind of share schedules, how did that go? How did, was that more of a challenge? Did you find that, or was it pretty simple for you?
Yeah, because we actually met through running,
right?
Yeah, yep. Kind of a group run, and then we'd known each other, and then just kind of ran into each other a couple years or so after that, and then started dating, and then got engaged and got married. Moved in together somewhere in there. Yeah, I mean, I think when we were, I really can't remember. It's like when you have a kid, you can't remember what happens before you have a kid. Like, just that part of your brain is gone. But yeah, I mean, I think we would both go on like long runs on the weekends, but you would run with your guys, and I would go by myself, or I don't really know what I would do.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I thought it was tough. I mean, transitioning from being able to run whenever I want to having a kid was very difficult for me. I'm going to be very honest.
Yeah.
Because I ran really high miles. I would run anywhere upwards of like 80, sometimes 100 miles a week. And then I went right down to like 20 miles a week. And part of me felt guilty for running when the family is home, Annie's watching Peyton, and I'm out running.
Yeah,
that just didn't feel right to me. So then sometimes I would skip a run, or not run at all, like I was kind of mentioned. And so yeah, I struggled. And then I would try to get on the weekends. Like I always had a dedicated like weekend group with a lot of the local runners here in Duluth, and at least try to get out and do one long run. That kind of made me, that kind of helped keep me motivated and moving. But to be all honest, like the last couple of years, I haven't run a lot. I'm active, but it's still a major transition. And just recently, we bought a treadmill.
An anniversary gift
to ourselves. So that's helped me run more, and Annie to run more, and because when Peyton is our son is sleeping, or if Annie's sleeping from nights, I'm able to get on the treadmill and run and still be present, at least in the house, watching on the baby monitor.
I think that was the biggest thing, because I work, you know, up until not quite even a year ago, I was working every other weekend. And so, you know, Dave would, you know, when Peyton came around, like, he's on Peyton duty. And, you know, in the summer, it's not a big deal. Like, we'll push him in the stroller. Like, he's awesome on the stroller, which we're so thankful for, because I've heard the opposite of some other kids. But, so when it's nice outside, like, we don't mind taking him out. Like, he likes it. It gets him outside.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a really good workout for us. So that's not...
Pushing Peyton on the stroller is an awesome workout.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's hard.
How do you go up and down hills?
Not as fast.
Your heart rate runs a lot higher. You run a lot slower. I try to calculate how many miles I have pushed Peyton on the... You know, just me. Not including Annie, but...
Yeah, we popped a tire on the stroller, so...
Yeah, and the wheels on our stroller are actually starting to go, like, a little bit bald, so I can tell you how many miles we actually have pushed them. But I'm somewhere in, like, the 700-some miles over 2 years, and you got to keep in mind some of those you can't run them. Winter miles are tough because the wheels get clogged with snow. But
oh yeah,
nothing's plowed.
The summer miles, but I think the longest run I've ever taken Peyton on, pushing him to start, is like 14 miles somewhere in there, and I've run 3 half marathons with him. So
but, yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. It's a good workout.
So like when I would be working, whether I'm days or when I'm sleeping during nights, Dave would have to take Peyton with, and then, you know, during the week, Dave typically gets up in the morning to run, and then when I was working nights, before we got our treadmill, he wouldn't be able to run because no one would be home.
Yeah,
home.
Yeah.
And so he would kind of have to adjust his schedule on my work schedule, and kind of pick which days he was going to take off, or if he was going to try to run after work.
Right.
And, you know, for me a lot, I would just run when I got home from work, but now I work 12-hour shifts, so it's like, I just want to sit on the couch for 15 minutes before I go to bed. it wipes you out. So, I mean, both of us definitely, it's been a lot of coordinating
and a lot of compromising.
Yep.
And Peyton is 2 now, a little over 2.
A little over 2.
So you've had a couple of years to figure it out. And like you say, you've got the treadmill now, and you've made it all work.
Yeah.
Which is good.
For sure.
Yeah,
I think a lot more planning in the upfront and communication with each other, letting each other know what's, you know, like the weekends and what we have planned for ourselves and each other and stuff like that helps out a ton if you want to stay motivated and running.
Yeah, and even now, like, when we're both home on the weekends, like, a lot of times I'll go run when he's napping, because Dave's home. Mm-hmm. Dave's usually taking a nap, then.
Yeah. We can't see that on the podcast.
Naps are good. Everybody takes naps.
It's all right. Nobody listens anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of listeners.
It's...
I do nap, yes.
Coordinating
a lot.
And then, too, like, right after Peyton was born, like, I ended up having to go to pelvic floor PT because I ran all throughout my pregnancy, and it was a lot of stuff that I just pushed off. It's like, oh, it's just because I'm pregnant. Yeah, in hindsight, I'm pretty sure it was, like, things that were there just before I even got pregnant, and then pregnancy made it way worse.
Yeah,
sure. So I didn't do anything about it while I was pregnant. I should have, because I remember I raced the Gobble Gallop, and I was, like, 37 weeks pregnant or something like that, and I could hardly walk because my hip hurt so bad. And it was like, so coming back after Peyton was born was
difficult.
A big journey for me. It was kind of the most I've had to do for running.
Sure.
So that was, and I'm still dealing with some of it now, but it's a lot more. I'm just with the therapy that I had, like, all these little exercises, they're easy. So I know what to do.
Gotta do
them.
Yeah. Gotta find the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was very, very well worth it. So it took me a little bit to get back, but then I was excited to be able to go out with him and go on runs. And
yeah.
Plus he enjoys it too.
Yeah, like, and he likes
getting him outside.
That helps.
Fresher.
Yeah.
What motivated you most to kind of like work really hard, get back out there? What was the kind of that driving force?
I think at that point it was like knowing that running was just something that I really love to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, then being a mom, it was like, okay, like, I obviously, like, this small person is, like, essentially 100% dependent on me. I need to be able to take time to do something that I love, you know,
kind of
get selfish a little bit and, like,
nope,
I'm going to do this because I like doing this. And sure, you can come with me sometimes, but, like, this is for me.
And that's important to have that thing for you, because then you have more energy to give to everybody else. So,
and I think just from the mental part, too, like, running just mentally makes you a happier person.
Yeah, right. It just, like, cleans everything out. Cleans out all the cobwebs. Yeah. I think your guys' story in this regard is so similar to so many other people. Would you have some advice to give for people who are coming up into these situations of getting married and having kids, but trying to both stay active? What advice would that be?
I would. My advice would be to invest in a really good stroller with good wheels, brakes, and shocks.
Yeah.
And then start your kid out early as far as when the car seat can lock into the stroller, because I think as you start the kid early, they don't know any different, and they think it's awesome running. That's my theory. But having a stroller, I wish I could run the clock a little bit, and I would have invested in a treadmill. A little bit earlier. Yeah.
Right.
Because especially with Annie working nights in the hospital, like we've mentioned before, but there's a lot of days where I was unable to work because I'm working full time. So I would definitely invest in those two things. That'd be my two.
Right away.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, like, do something where you can get a good jogging stroller. That was probably our saving grace. Because by the time Peyton could really, we could kind of do anything, it was summer months because he's a December baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was perfect timing. But yeah, definitely. I think the treadmill, we're both like, dang it, we should have gotten this a long time ago. But in hindsight,
right.
So now we have it. And
yep.
But even that, picking that out, we're like, the way that ours comes down, it's a lever on the top. And some of them is like, you push a bar, and we're like, well, Peyton's gonna figure out how to do that, and he's gonna pull the treadmill down. I'm like,
right,
yeah, great.
Right.
Like,
you have to sort of baby-proof
your
treadmill.
Yeah, you baby-proof your treadmill.
You want their little fingers stuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think, too, just the communication. I mean, obviously, like, you know, with us, with Dave, you know, having a Monday through Friday job, and mine with shift work, and, you know, rotating schedules, it's just the communication is just so important. And, you know, I think we both want each other to achieve our goals, and so it's like we support each other to be able to do that, you know. And for, you know, this year with Dave running grandma's, like, I'm like, yeah, do it, like, do whatever you need, like, you know, I'm here, I don't mind watching, hanging out with Peyton and you go on a run, like, it's fine, like, you know, it's something you need to do for yourself.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So because then, yeah, like you said, Tony, like, it makes you a better dad, it makes you a better husband. And
yep. Mental health stuff too.
So if somebody was having some problems, maybe feeling that guilt, know that maybe they don't have to feel that guilt so much. And it's a balance between the schedule with your family and the schedule with your own running. But both can be done.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You gotta wanna do it too, and get out there and be motivated and get out there.
You've talked a lot about coordinating and kind of making it work for training, but what about racing? Do you feel like you coordinate your races, or do you go one and the other, or how does that work?
We had, well, that was the race that we saw you at.
Yeah.
Kristen Burkholder. We both love that race. That's like one of our favorite 5Ks. We both wanted to run it. I'm like, all right, well, who wants to actually race and go fast? And Dave's like, oh, I really want to try and... I don't know what your goal was. I can't remember. I think you wanted to try and
break 17 or something.
Yeah, something like that. So I was like, all right, I'll just push Peyton. So, I mean, luckily it was a stroller-friendly race. That's, you know, not every race is.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll push Peyton. So, I mean, I think I still ran like a 23-minute 5K with a stroller.
That's pretty good.
Won the stroller division, right?
Yeah, and like a 25-pound cot child in it, too. So.
And it was really windy.
It was cold and windy, yeah. So, but yeah, so I mean, we just kind of like, okay, like, you know, one of us, and we haven't had too many races where we both raced.
Well, we did the pumpkin run up in Esco.
Oh yeah, we had a babysitter for that.
And then we hired a babysitter. So
she met us at the race.
So she met us at the race, and she watched Peyton.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we both were able to race and do that. So yeah, you definitely have to pre-plan races.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
back in the day, I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to run 44 races in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, Saturday morning. Yeah.
Saturday morning, so. Well, and that was us when we were first together. We would
run every race.
We'd just do every 5K.
Yeah.
We
Everyone,
like,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quote unquote, race ourselves into shape because
yeah.
We just did 5Ks amongst our regular running.
But
we did get fast.
I have to say, though, like, being like, now that we're limited to how many races we can race and how, you know, who's gonna race and when we can race and when you're fit and when you're not and all that kind of stuff,
right,
the races are more meaningful, at least I mean for me. When I line up on there, I've had some, you know, some really memorable races, and partly because I've gone all out, you know, and I've just like not really and I just it just means a lot to me. And before I'd be like, oh, it's just another race. No, it's like, it took me this much planning to get here, this much work to get here. I'm like, it just means so much more to race.
Less sacrifice.
Yeah. So I know how much it takes to get there now.
It's not the case when you're doing 44.
No.
You can't have that.
No. Nope.
That priority.
No.
When you're doing that many.
And you know, we gotta balance Peyton too, because you know, I don't know if he always wants to be at races, and maybe you know, do stuff with him on the weekends too. So
yeah,
absolutely.
So that's something we think about as well.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's like, I mean, I feel like I'm still competitive, but I feel like for me now, it's just, you know, with my change in work schedule too, it makes it a lot harder to like really train.
Right.
You know, that's on me too. You know, I'm not putting the time that I could into it.
Right.
But running is, it's still definitely a priority, but it's more of something that like I can just do for myself and just have it as an enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like racing, but I kind of just don't have expectations of myself. I think because I don't really know where I'm at.
Yeah.
My training.
Right.
So there's that too, but yeah, I mean, like he goes to daycare every Friday now, which is great. So it's like I can have some me time, and like a couple weeks ago, like my sister and I were able to go on a run, and I'm like, I don't have to push a stroller. This is awesome. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's fun, and I really like trail running, but you know, obviously can't do that with a stroller.
You need a backpack.
Yeah, it'd be a little jostling for him, I think, but but yeah, so it's,
get him on the backpack.
Yeah, but yeah, so I don't know. It's just very different, and I think too, it's like, as a mom, you know, your brain just like kind of goes into like kid priority, and
oh yeah,
it's just kind of
as
like,
it should be.
I still love running. Yeah. Obviously, like if I hadn't been for running, I clearly wouldn't be where I am now.
Yeah.
And it's always gonna be like a super important part of my life. It's just kind of like,
right. It's a long life, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I gotta know, do you think Peyton's gonna like running? Do you think he's gonna be a runner when he grows up?
Peyton, are you gonna be a runner? Are you gonna run when you grow up? I think he will.
I think he will.
I mean, I, of course we'd hope to, but if he really doesn't want to, it's like, yeah, it's like,
I think,
as long as he finds something that he loves doing and he puts effort into and tries, I'm cool with that.
I think
we've axed football. And probably hockey, just from like a money standpoint.
Although I did hear that Tom Brady retired yesterday, and then sounds like he might be coming back, so maybe he could play football and take Tom Brady's spot.
Yeah, by the time he's truly ready to retire, Peyton will be old enough.
I think it's so interesting too that you both have had such different, you know, entries to. Now it almost like converged. I mean, you're both just kind of racing, enjoying racing, same type of racing, but you come from such different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Team-based, high school, collegiate, to just kind of on a bet.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I you know, if Peyton runs, what path might he take? You know, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know when I suit up to go running in the mornings or in the afternoons, or whenever I can go, I should say, Peyton does the old running in motion thing. So he's like, Dad's going running, and he stops his feet and pretends he's running. So he's got some interest in it, and he's seen us race. And if we see a runner on the side of the road, he's like, Dad, or, you know.
He thinks every runner's dad.
And, so.
That's funny. Well, he certainly got the genes for it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, I'll definitely introduce it to him because, you know, as he gets older, maybe push him a little bit. But if he doesn't want to, then I'll respect that too. So
yeah. And you've also seen it from more, you know, super highly competitive parts, but also like when you got started, it wasn't that at all. It was just for fun, really.
With the friends,
and it became competitive, and years on a bet and became competitive, but. I guess my point is, like, a lot of the high school kids, when they join, it isn't, they're not thinking competition right away. They're thinking, oh, my friends are doing it. Let's just go do it, something to do.
Right.
That happens so often. Then it turns into the competitive thing, and maybe that'll be the case, too.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's the great thing about cross country, too. And I think, you know, I owe a ton of credit to my high school coach, because she, and, you know, as an assistant coach now, like, it's so hard to not find and to not favor certain runners. And she treated everybody equal, whether you are absolute top runner or the last person crossing the finish line. Like, she wanted everyone to do well and to just, like, give it their all. And as long as you tried, she was so happy for you.
Yeah.
And so I think coming from that environment was probably a huge part of what made me love it so much too.
Yeah.
You know, not needing to be fast to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
as a high school coach too, that's so important to make everybody feel special. Yeah, think of Joe Newton at York High School in Illinois, who's a famous coach, and he would have like 130 kids, and he would know every single kid's name. He would shake their hands, every single one of them would shake their hands after practice every single day, and just had this huge family aspect to his team. That's and they cool. won like I don't know how many state championships, tons of state championships.
I mean, and we still run with our high school coach when we're in town, and I think recently she had with COVID, but she would have like Tuesday morning runs in the summer where she'd be like, hey, I'm gonna be at the high school at 6 a.m on Tuesdays, so nice. If you're around, meet up and we'll go on a run.
Cool.
So it's just like a really good way. I mean, kids at she probably coached almost 20 years ago. She's still connected with, you know, awesome. Like she just has that such a great personality and she's
cool.
awesome.
That's cool. All right. Anything else, Mike?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, thanks guys. That's about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. We'll see you out there on the roads.
Yeah.
On the trails.
On the trails. And that wraps up our latest podcast. Again, thanks everyone for tuning in. Really appreciate it. You know, tell your friends about us too. Hopefully we can grow our listening numbers a little bit. I actually have no idea what they are, but it'd be cool to grow our listening numbers a little bit. And hopefully everybody's enjoying it. Thanks to our sponsor, Austin Jaro, where I will be getting my next pair of running shoes. I won't buy them online, I promise. And yeah, thanks to you, Mike, for all of your work. And
for sure.
Yeah. See you next time.
See you next time.